are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. You can follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. Jason Hirschhorn on the show today to talk about the coaching carousel, how it could affect the Green Bay Packers. Nathaniel Hackett, a finalist in both Jacksonville and Denver. As of this recording, the Byron Leftwich deal not done in Jacksonville. So Nathaniel Hackett could still, something happens, something falls apart, could be in the mix there as well. So we're going to talk about all of that. I want to start though with a really interesting question that I got from Dan on Twitter. He said, I would love for you to ask one simple question. Is the opportunity cost of not trading Rodgers and Adams now worth a single run with less talent now? Okay, so let's start here. I reject the premise of the question, which is that if they make a run in 2022, they will be less talented. We talked about that on yesterday's show. If you missed it, go check that out. This is exactly the question the Packers have to answer. And there are a couple things that I think you need to try and calculate when you're looking at this. How much are you getting for Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams in this scenario? Because if you can trade Aaron Rodgers for 3 first round picks and Jerry Jeudy and Patrick Surtain, and you can trade Davante Adams to the Raiders for Trey Merrig and a first, I don't know, maybe you consider that. And you have to say, okay, what other shenanigans have to be done with the cap and all that stuff. I don't think it's as simple as saying, well, we could get a bunch of stuff, or we could make one last run. That is also premised on the idea that it's only one. What if Aaron Rodgers says, if Green Bay is willing to commit to me, I could play 2, 3, 4 more years. I feel physically that I could still do it. Now, I'm not convinced he wants to do that. If we are in year 2 now of, I'm not sure I want to keep playing, it's hard for me to imagine he's got 4 more years of the grind. If he's already thinking about the grind, how much longer does he want to be in the grind? He is thinking about storybook endings. If he wants to come back and they win the Super Bowl, maybe he's like, I'm out. But he said he wants to make a decision by that late February tag deadline, so that the Packers have some time to get the flexibility to work out a deal with Davante, work out a deal with Rodgers, and figure it out moving forward. But who says it's just a 1-year window? Who says? And who says that if they sign one or both of these guys, that they can't trade them in the future? There is certainly a real possibility that Aaron Rodgers says, let's put together a package that gives me flexibility now and you flexibility cap-wise, but that in a year we can have this conversation again. Now, is Davante Adams going to be down for that? Maybe not, because then he's hitting the market as a 30-year-old free agent, and then there's all these things that come into play there. He probably wants long-term stability, and I would assume his preference is that he has that stability knowing what he's getting from the quarterback position. So I think the premise is faulty. There are a lot of other scenarios here. And so when you're trying to calculate opportunity cost, you also have to factor in, well, what are the other options? Well, the other options include extending Aaron Rodgers, extending Davante Adams, and now maybe you have a 2 or 3 year window to move forward here. I think the real question is, does love plus picks and players
give you a better chance to win? And are you more sure that that is the better path forward long term than short term, making a couple runs and then figuring out the quarterback position? This all really comes back to what they think about Jordan Love. If Jordan Love has showed them enough that they think in a year or two, he can be a high enough level player to win them a Super Bowl and not just be a button pusher, because you can't think that. You have to think that he is a driver. You have to think that he is an engine of an offense kind of quarterback, not someone who just presses the button, puts in the GPS, and the thing goes. Can't be that. This all comes back to what you think of Jordan Love. I don't think Green Bay is ready to make that decision. If we take Matt LaFleur at his word, they want Aaron Rodgers back. I don't think that is all Jordan Love. I do think it is some Jordan Love, because if they thought Jordan Love was ready, maybe they would have a bigger appetite with Rodgers. I'll answer the question a different way. I think the best scenario for the Packers is a deal that gives the Packers Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams in 2022 and flexibility after that, if something like that exists. And who knows if it does? Because maybe it's, hey, get the contract, Devontae. We'll rework the contract, Aaron. And in a year, we'll figure this out. If you don't want to be here anymore, we'll figure it out. Now, the way salaries work, that's pretty tough. But the cap also explodes in 2023. The new TV money, all that stuff. This is not some simple calculation where it's like, okay, well, Love plus stuff. This is the only chance the Packers will get to get something for Aaron Rodgers. Well, that's not true. This is the only chance that the Packers will have to get something for Devontae Adams. It's not true. It's not true. And so for Green Bay, it's about what the alternative is. And let's say Devontae Adams is willing to sign an extension irrespective of what's going on with Aaron Rodgers. He has seen enough from Jordan Love to believe that with some time and some reps, they can make this work. He signs a contract. If the question were just what's better for the Packers long term, Jordan Love, Devontae Adams, 3 first round picks, and Jerry Jeudy, or Aaron Rodgers and not the picks, and whatever you get for Jordan Love, I still think you probably lean, in terms of on-field football, Aaron Rodgers. Unless the Packers are seeing all kinds of stuff going on behind the scenes, unless Jordan Love is just like knocking it out of the park in meetings, and the players do seem to really like him. That, I think that matters. The players seem to really, really like Jordan Love. And one of the things, I was just talking to someone about this the other day, he throws to the right place. That's the thing about Jordan Love that I didn't expect right away, that he reads where the ball needs to go and he gets the ball there. One of the problems that Aaron Rodgers had in the playoffs, not to say that Jordan Love would have been better doing it, do not misunderstand what I'm saying, but at times he doesn't read the play out because he just wants to either make a play or force a play to Devontae Adams. That's what happened on the dig to Lazard at the end of the game. It happened a couple times against the 49ers. Jordan Love consistently knows where to go with the football. That is an aspect of his development I was frankly not prepared for. Maybe that is a big factor for them. And maybe what they say to Aaron is, here's what we think is best for everyone. Play for a year. Let's try and win a Super Bowl. If we don't win a Super Bowl, we'll send you somewhere that you think you can win one. Give us the flexibility to decide Devontae Adams to a long-term deal. And that's that. Now, maybe that's not good enough for Aaron Rodgers. Maybe he wants the Packers to want to sign him to a longer term deal. But he can't want them to suffer the consequences of that deal if he retires or leaves. That's the needle that they have to thread. And it's not an easy one. It's not an easy one. He said to Pat McAfee that it was about the organizational direction, his fit, longer term, a feeling, and that search for a storybook ending. Is that the ranking? Is that the order in which those things matter to him? Because if it is, he probably is most likely to win a Super Bowl of all the places that he could go because of what it would cost to get him. The most likely to win a Super Bowl and get that storybook ending in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur said, we want you to stay. And we want you to be, Matt LaFleur said, that he wants Rodgers to be a Packer until Rodgers chooses to retire. He said the organization is on board with that. So what's the feeling? So this was a very fun hypothetical discussion. I think it's interesting. I think Aaron Rodgers is coming back. I think Davante Adams is going to resign. And I don't think running it back, as I've said and written, is a bad option for this team. And I think if you look around the NFC, who are you really scared of? That's the thing. They could have, with an easier schedule, they get the NFC East and the AFC East. Those are two bad divisions that they get a chance to go against. They can win 13 games again and give themselves a really good chance to go in a Super Bowl, and Rodgers can ride off into the sunset. This is all on Rodgers now in terms of what he wants to do. If he wants to come back, you have to. You have to bring him back. Unless the packages are just getting outrageous. Unless Denver is like, here's the deed to Vail, you know? They're not doing that. So I still think this ends with him coming back and them figuring it out and them going Last Dance 2.0. Today's episode is brought to you by Get Upside. My listeners are earning cash back for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN for up to 25 cents per gallon, actually, or more on your first fill up. Cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use promo code TOUCHDOWN for 25 cents per gallon or more on your first tank. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 or $300 in cash back. There's no catch. Just get it put back into your bank account, PayPal, e-gift card, Amazon. Easy, easy, easy. Just download the free Get Upside app and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN. Joining me now, he is America's guest. He is my co-founder at The Leap, and he is with us to talk about, thank you, with the great t-shirt. For those who can't see on YouTube, Jason is holding up The Leap signature t-shirt, which you can get at Cotton Bureau. Jason, how are you, man?
I'm very comfortable in the shirt.
Nice. A company man all the way. I appreciate it. So you are here to talk coaching because you wrote a great piece for The Leap earlier this week about potential options if the Packers have their staff poached. And you focused mostly on Nathaniel Hackett, Luke Getsy, as they stand in these head coaching searches. There, it's also possible that some of these guys could just be promoted and taken away into these other schemes. We'll get to all of that in a little bit. Let's start with the Nathaniel Hackett part of this because he seems like the guy most likely to be hired away. Where do we stand with where he is in terms of the desirability for him around the league?
I'm going to add a caveat to that. He's the most likely to be hired away as a head coach.
Right.
Now, because there is interest in Luke Getsy outside of being the head coach, even though he has interviewed for that position with the Denver Broncos. Now, with Nathaniel Hackett, what I have heard and continue to hear is that not just that he's a finalist for the Denver Broncos job, but there is a group within that front office. Now, it's led by George Payton, but there's other people who have voices in the room, that there are people in that room who think that he should be the next head coach of the Denver Broncos. That does not make it a done deal. There is support for other candidates, including Dan Quinn, who I'm sure Packers fans have heard about a lot this week because he's considered a finalist for the Chicago Bears job. Mm-hmm. But Hackett is considered one of the front runners for the Broncos job that emerged pretty early on. And a lot of people are going to make the connection with, you know, Aaron Rodgers' uncertain future. And certainly that could become a major narrative. Hackett does get that job, but that's not the reason that he has gained support in Denver. They looked at his track record even before Green Bay, saw what he did with Blake Bortles in that 2007 season, and looked at him and said, this is a guy who can work with limited personnel. And the Broncos don't have overall limited offensive personnel. It's just that quarterback position that's been so problematic for them since Peyton Manning retired. They feel like he's the right person, or could be the right person, to lead that team and really put together a good offense, not regardless of who's a quarterback, but independent of whether or not Rodgers is a part of that equation.
So let's say Nathaniel Hackett is hired by Denver. That has ramifications for the Green Bay Packers staff. It is not a lock that he's going to raid the staff, but certainly who are the guys that you think are most likely to either be gone or the Packers would have to promote in order to keep them in-house?
Yeah, there's a few guys worth discussing here, and it's also worth discussing how the new hiring rules work.
Yep.
In the NFL now, if you want someone to be your offensive, defensive, special teams coordinator, if that person's interested, it does not matter if they're under contract, that team cannot block you from interviewing them or hiring them. So in a scenario where Nathaniel Hackett, or really anybody else with the Denver Broncos, wants to hire a Packers assistant to be, say, their offensive coordinator, the Packers don't need to allow, or they need to like give permission. I mean, they'll ask for permission just because that's the formality. However, if, let's say, Dan Quinn gets that job and he wants Luke Getsy to be his OC, the Packers can't stop that. So it's not so much that the Packers can really block those things. Now, they can incentivize the people that they have in-house to stay in-house with promotions, as you said. Now, let's get into some of those guys. Luke Getsy is probably highest on this list because he interviewed with the Broncos for the head coaching position. Now, he's not a finalist, but because he was interviewed there, he's someone with which they have some familiarity. And obviously Hackett, if he were to get that job, would have familiarity with too. And Getsy, as I've written about for The Leap and other places, he's considered a rising star. Yeah. And he has this very diverse background. Now, he's been with Green Bay in two separate stints. He's also spent time at Mississippi State under Joe Moorhead. And he's learned a lot of nuances about RPOs that he didn't necessarily get from Green Bay, even though Green Bay runs RPOs as well. And a lot of those little trinkets have appeared in NFL offenses. And we've seen, you know, Joe Brady, another considered up-and-coming candidate, even though he lost his job recently with the Carolina Panthers. He also spent time with Joe Moorhead. So that is a connection that means something to NFL teams. And Getsy going to Denver in whatever capacity that might be would have a lot of appeal. So I think that he's high in that list. Now, Adam Stenovich, I think, is another guy, and it's for multiple reasons. They're different than what it is with Luke Getsy. Stenovich is considered a rising star as well, but for different reasons. He's considered one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL, which is only surprising in that he's only done this for 4 or 5 years. He's pretty new to the coaching profession, but the results speak for themselves. You know, all those players to a man will tell you what a good job that Adam Stenovich has done with that offensive line in Green Bay. If you're someone like Nathaniel Hackett and you can hire Adam Stenovich to be your offensive coordinator, you know, he'll provide some things that you probably can't yourself provide. But he can also do a really good job of coaching offensive line coach. It's like getting an extra offensive line coach in the building. And that's going to be impactful for any team. And when you're running one of these Shanahan-McVay offenses, and to be fair, Hackett's offense may not be exactly the same as what the Packers have run under LaFleur. But getting that offensive line right, not just the players, but the teaching of that scheme, it's not super easy. It's kind of the secret sauce to all of those teams. This was a big deal with the Browns when they hired Kevin Stefanski. It was a big deal in Minnesota when they brought in Gary Kubiak. Obviously, it was a big deal in Green Bay, a big deal in San Francisco, a big deal in Los Angeles. We can go down the list, but this is something that those kind of coaches really prioritize even more than they already are. And for that reason, giving Adam Stenovich an OC promotion would be a really big deal. At the same time, Green Bay can do these things too. Matt LaFleur, during his season-closing press conference, discussed how it is at least on the table, very seriously so, that they would fill a Nathaniel Hackett vacancy with someone internally. That could be Getsy. That could be Stenovich. I mean, if it's one, they could end up promoting the other in some way or giving them a pay bump or both. We already saw that this past year when both those guys got, you know, pass or run game coordinator titles added to the ledger.
Right.
So there are things that they can do. Now, I don't know if that's enough to keep them from going for another team's OC job, especially when we do not know if Nathaniel Hackett plans to call plays should he get a head coaching position. He's called plays before. He did so in Jacksonville. The results were overall fairly positive, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's what he wants to do as a head coach. So if he's able to give play calling responsibilities to one of these guys, it's going to be really hard for the Packers to top that.
So let's say this happens. Nathaniel Hackett goes and he takes one of these guys with him. It'd be pretty tough to take both with him just because of what Green Bay could offer potentially. But let's say either Luke Getsy or Adam Senevich goes with Nathaniel Hackett to Denver or one of these other jobs that he still could be in play for. And they want to take someone from out of house, or they at least want to consider candidates. You mentioned two names that I, by the way, had not considered in this situation because they are a little bit more outside of the box. Who are those guys and why do they make sense?
All right, let's start with the, in my view, more interesting name here. That's Liam Cohen, who's currently the offensive coordinator at the University of Kentucky. That may seem totally off the radar to a lot of people.
Yeah, but this is someone that's... I'll raise my hand. Me.
Yeah, but Cohen is actually someone that you would consider to be in LaFleur's network. Now, before this season at Kentucky, and it was a very strong showing for him, it was his first year as an offensive coordinator at the college level or even at the NFL level, and it was a very efficient offense, one of the best in all of college football, despite, you know, relatively limited talent at Kentucky. But he had previously been with the Los Angeles Rams under Sean McVay. He arrived in LA the year after LaFleur left for the Tennessee Titans offensive coordinator job. So they didn't overlap, but that doesn't mean they're not still connected via McVay. And, you know, LaFleur, along with a lot of these head coaches, they know what else is going on across the NFL and at the higher levels of college football. So whether or not he were to get this hypothetical opening, this is someone that LaFleur does know. Now, Cohen is very familiar with the Shanahan-McVay offense because that is what he runs at Kentucky. Now, it's adapted because there's certain things that are just more difficult to do in college. The terminology is simpler. It's not as expansive. But the core principles remain the same, that, you know, illusion of complexity, having multiple plays that start out looking the same and end up being vastly different. That's what made Kentucky so effective. You know, they had some really good players, Wandale Robinson chief among them. However, this is not the same level of talent that you see elsewhere in the SEC. And they were still able to be competitive with those teams because of how well the offense was run. So if LaFleur wants to bring someone in who already knows the bones of this offense, and he wants to bring someone in who's young and energetic, but still has somewhat of a different perspective, Liam Cohen could make a lot of sense. And he's going to be able to find out from Sean McVay and a number of other people that he's connected with what Liam Cohen is like in the building. So all of these things make him a very attractive candidate. And independent of Green Bay, this is someone who I've been told within the next, you know, 2-3 years, likely to be a college head coach if that's what he wants to be, or make his way back into the NFL if that's what he wants to do. This is a name that we've almost certainly not heard for the last time this cycle.
You mentioned another name in Joe Brady, who was with Carolina and was at LSU before that with Joe Burrow. I want to ask you the question this way. Let's say Matt LaFleur believes that either already this year, or let's say at the end of next year, Aaron Rodgers will no longer be the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. You just mentioned two collegiate names, Jordan Love. How do you think the future of Aaron Rodgers impacts their decision on where they go at OC if they need to make that decision?
Well, it's kind of hard to say for a variety of reasons, because when we look at LaFleur's hiring tactics overall, not just with this position, in some cases, he's gone completely out of his network. That's what Nathaniel Hackett was. As I wrote in the article, that was kind of like a midway point between what Aaron Rodgers had been used to in terms of offensive schematics and what LaFleur brought to the Green Bay Packers.
It was a really smart hire. It looks like a great hire in retrospect.
Yes. And it was one that made sense in the moment too, because Rodgers had played under, not that all West Coast offenses are the same, but Hackett's tactics in Jacksonville, in Buffalo, before that at Syracuse, are a lot closer to what McCarthy ran in Green Bay and what Rodgers was used to. However, Hackett is a younger head coach. He's in his early 40s now. I believe he's like a month younger than LaFleur. And he was definitely someone who's familiar with a lot of the stuff that the Shanahan McVay offenses do and was certainly capable and willing to adapt to them. So he made sense in that position. Now, if LaFleur wants another person with a very different perspective to bring new things to the offenses, to, you know, keep him honest so he doesn't get too locked into a particular way of thinking, going outside of his network makes a lot of sense. Conversely, whether or not Rodgers is a part of this, if LaFleur feels, okay, I found the balance I need between what I came with, what Rodgers deals with, and what really will work in Green Bay with the personnel we have, with or without that particular quarterback, going in network could make sense. So we can't say from the outside which one of those things is more likely. If it ends up being out of house, it's not that I think that Joe Brady would be the go-to guy here, but he's someone worth considering because he certainly has had a lot of success. That LSU season remains one of the greatest offensive seasons we have ever seen. And he does have some, I wouldn't say he's in network for LaFleur, but he does have some Packers connections. You know, he coached as a GA under Joe Moorhead at Penn State. Joe Moorhead, obviously relatively close with Luke Getsy because Luke Getsy was his OC hire at Mississippi State when he took that job. And those sort of RPO tactics, and again, not all RPOs are the same. And we can get into why they're different or how they can be different. But that's something that could be really helpful for whomever is the quarterback in Green Bay. Because if you look at what Brady has done well at college and even at Carolina, I don't think those were bad offenses considering the personnel available to him. They do things that are hard to defend. You know, the Packers, when they saw Carolina most recently, had trouble defending some of those concepts, even though they had significantly better talent. So Brady brings in some ideas that might be not totally new to Matt LaFleur and the coaching staff, but how you coach them may be new to those guys. That could be extremely valuable to LaFleur. And we know that he's someone who thinks about these things. You know, he's gone in-house with, you know, his first real DC hire in Joe Brady. He went effectively in network when he hired Adam Stenovich. That was a really important hire considering the offense he was installing. But he's brought some guys in at other positions or retained guys from the previous staff that show that he's willing to think outside of just what he knows or who he knows personally. So it's very, very interesting. There's a lot of reason, as you laid out, to think that there is going to be one or maybe multiple openings on that Packers offensive coaching staff. And we're probably going to have to dive into more names when that happens.
As we finish up here, because we could dive into hypotheticals for hours, where are some places that could be landing spots? Let's say Nathaniel Hackett does not get a head coaching job, where Luke Getsy could be an appealing candidate as an OC, or Adam Stenovich could be an appealing candidate as an OC, and the Packers don't really have an outlet for them to be promoted with, you know, passing game coordinator not being nearly as appealing a title.
Well, you start with all the teams that interview these coaches for a head coaching gig. Look at what happened with Matt LaFleur himself. He interviewed in 2018 to be the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. He did not get that job. It went to Vrabel. But Vrabel still brought in Matt LaFleur as his offensive coordinator. That was appealing to LaFleur because even though he was already the OC with the Rams, he did not have play calling responsibilities. Now, or then in Tennessee, he would be able to do that. The same logic could apply here. Nathaniel Hackett has call plays before, so that is something that's part of his resume, but it would probably help him if he doesn't get a head coaching job this year to do that again, show that he's capable of doing that because that's so appealing to NFL teams. That could go to the Chicago Bears who've interviewed him, and a lot of the finalists are believed to be defensive guys, so you don't expect them to come in with a particular offensive play caller designated already in mind. You could look to the Broncos as well. If they go with a defensive head coach, that's certainly on the table. There's other options too. In Jacksonville, where, by the way, he is a finalist. That is another job that Nathaniel Hackett could realistically get. And as we've written at The Leap, he has been on their radar since months before Urban Meyer was fired. Mm. So there's a lot of support for Nathaniel Hackett. They are independent of whomever gets that head coaching position. Now, let's say it's Byron Leftwich that appears to be the favorite at this time. That's what I'm hearing. I know there's other media outlets that have reported similarly. Now, Leftwich does kind of come from a particular offensive lineage. He spent his entire coaching career more or less under Bruce Arians, say for one season in Arizona after Arians retired. Good chance he's going to want to run something similar to that. That said, he may also decide he wants someone with an outsider's perspective that can work with him. Nathaniel Hackett, who's going to, again, have a lot of support in that building, could be an option there. So that's the kind of scenario where you could see Nathaniel Hackett leaving, even if it's not for a head coaching position, because Hackett, while seems to be very happy in Green Bay, wants to be a head coach. He's very serious about it. He started interviewing for those positions in 2020, remember, with the Atlanta Falcons. So he's going to make the jump when he can, and it's fairly reasonable to believe that he will do anything in between that to make himself more appealing.
And Matt LaFleur has said he wants his guys to be appealing candidates, that he wants to empower them to move on, and that it's bad for morale, essentially, if you're blocking these guys from going and getting these interviews. Jason, this was terrific. Thank you so much. And we will have you back soon. Is there anything that you want to preview for us at The Leap?
Well, I actually want to say something, and I'm going to speak for both of us here. So The Leap hit a very important milestone recently. I'm not going to divulge exactly what that is, but Peter and I started The Leap a matter of months ago, you know, expecting big things, but also expecting it would take a lot of time. We reached a goal way earlier than either of us thought was possible. So I want to thank the people who've already subscribed to The Leap. And I want to thank a lot of people on this podcast too, because not you and me on this podcast necessarily, but people who listen to it, because this is the audience that we have tried to cultivate, that we try to reach out to. It's a group that is very passionate about the team, but it's not just interested, as you always like to say, in knowing what happened, but wants to know why and how. That's exactly what we have tried to find with The Leap. We've been way more successful than we thought was possible in the first season. And I want to thank them for their support. It's meant a lot to me. I know it's meant a lot to you. Mm. And we're looking forward to continuing to grow with this.
Absolutely. That is well said. And certainly those of you that are subscribed, keep your eyes on your email inbox. A lot more fun stuff to come on this off season. And if you haven't subscribed, why not? Go do it. You certainly can start with a free subscription. We've made it easy to be a member for a year. It's much cheaper than doing it month to month. So, thanks to everyone again, as Jason said, I could not have said it better. Thanks, Jason. All right. I want to thank Jason for joining the show. He is terrific. And I echo everything he said. I mean, I just said it, but I echo everything he said about what's going on with The Leap and the support that you guys have shown. And, I don't want to throw any shade at anyone, so I'm not going to, but I had someone say, you know, I subscribed to The Leap and I loved it and I thought it was so great that I went and subscribed to another website. I'm not even going to name the website, hoping for even more and you know, additional coverage. And he was like, I actually just ended up wishing that The Leap was doing more stuff. I mean, that I can't think of a better compliment than that. So thank you to everyone. Thank you to Jason, who works diligently on that, tirelessly on that. I don't know when Jason sleeps, but then again, I don't sleep either. So I want to reiterate everything that he has said and go get a t-shirt. They look really great. If you didn't see Jason on the YouTube, they look really good. They look really good. I'm going to be wearing them a bunch. I have to order a bunch more. I was in charge of getting everyone theirs for founding membership. I got to get some for myself now. BetOnline would like to wish you a happy new betting year as we continue our march toward the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all your sports wagering action in 2022, new year, and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers for 2022. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we will have a Friday show. We will not do a happy hour. We'll not do a live. But we may, if I'm in LA, there's a possibility I'm still in LA for the Super Bowl. We may do a live from LA. So just something to think about. We're going to do a mailbag show on Friday. Send me your voicemails on the Locked On Packers fan hotline. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook. You can hit me up on Twitter at @Peter_Bukowski. Send it to the Locked On Packers Twitter at Locked On Packers. I made it really, really easy on that one. Or anytime you want to hit us up on the Locked On Packers fan hotline, you can do that 920-341-3775 to stay Locked On Packers.